Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Taino Radio, Radio Taino. Oh man, I can't wait to greet everyone out there in the future. Thank you for downloading this beautiful show. And yo, check this out, we're getting problems. Today's topic was men in black, and guess what? I don't know what happened, but out west, there's some issues with phone service, and Spooky Lou from the Spooky Lou Paranormal Show having some technical difficulties. Now, I'm not saying it's the men in black. I'm not saying that. But today's topic was the men in black. But it seems like the phone issues has been not resolved. So I just want to tell everyone, if anyone wants to call in, we can do an open mic. If you have any experiences of, you know, men in black, you can call in. You don't have to give your name. Also, any UFOs, any Bigfoot, anything spooky, any spirits, sightings, you name it. If there's anything that you want to talk about, we can talk about it if you want to call in. So we have some technical difficulties. If somehow Spooky Lou can get in, where we can start with the topic of the men in black. Now, I don't want to go out there. I know I joke on the other shows how sometimes we're blocked. The shows are blocked sometimes, or they just, you know, the studio goes blank when we start talking controversial topics. And, hey, we live in a reality where the Patriot Act, Part 2, is alive and well. We live in a society where surveillance is being recorded constantly, 24/7. We know exactly that we're being watched. Google.com knows exactly what I'm up to. When I Google something, shortly after, what happens? I get all these ads, okay? I remember being with a client not too long ago. They were asking for best place where they can buy diapers for their their mother who has dementia, and I remember I just put diapers for adults on Google. I didn't even check it out. I didn't even look. And I told the person, give me 10 minutes. The 10 minutes that I will use to look up some companies, Google's going to do it for me. So in 10 minutes, what I do, I went on Facebook, and I got all these ads related to diapers for adults. I even got some dementia ads. I couldn't believe it. And we both started laughing. It's like, yeah, you know, we're being constantly watched. Surveillance, the ads. The thing that makes me upset is when companies sell our information. See, that's not right. And I'm kind of cool now that when you get calls, you get some scam calls, and the phone tells you, hey, this might be a possible scammer. So they even know the scammers. So even scammers can't scam that well anymore. And, of course, the reality of the hackers. I was watching a TikTok not too long ago in which they were talking about how to hack someone. And the way they said it was, it wasn't like a hacker tutorial, but more like educational purposes only. And they had they got this software, and they got connected to, somebody's computer and so on. It was crazy. So here's the thing. Surveillance is a constant issue. I remember when George W. Bush, when he was running for re-election, the New York Times, they didn't break the story, but they had the information about the surveillance program led by Cheney, Vice President Cheney at the time. And the New York Times waited till after the election to break the story of surveillance. And, you know, one of the saddest days that for me was, you know, in politics before the Trump era was when Obama signed off on part two of the Patriot Act. He extended it. You know, and politicians, they justify it by, you know, saying about terrorist attacks and so on. And, you know, to prevent, they need to see, they need to monitor and so on, which is cool. I get it. You know, there's enemies out there that want to destroy certain agendas. But then fast forward the Trump era, the terrorists did show their face, and it was a terrorist right here in the United States of America. So now we're being more aware that the enemy is within. How about that? So, surveillance. The men in black for many, many years have been shown through movies. Hey, that's right, Will Smith, huh? And they've been shown in different documentaries of these unknown men dressed in black. And whenever there's a UFO sighting or there's controversial material that was published on YouTube or on the news, these men in black show up. Does sound like science fiction. Also, the men in black, the Manchurian candidate, how they can, the U.S. government has created these people, these candidates, I guess run by the CIA, in which they can brainwash certain people to do their bidding or to do carry out some agendas like murders or assassinations in the United States, you know, against the law to do assassinations in other countries and so on. But here's the thing. What's the truth? You know, we watch movies. We watch the science fiction movies, and they're great. You know, like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. You know, I love Star Wars. Men in Black. You know, I saw the movies, and they're kind of cool. Makes you laugh. But within the science fiction world, there is some facts. Men in Black. Here's the thing. Here's the question I always wanted to ask. Why is disclosure of life in other worlds or visitors like the Greys, visitors, reptilians maybe, why is there a constant cover-up? What's the fear? With the glass half full, we can say, well, the U.S. government is trying to protect us. And different governments throughout the world are trying to protect us from an invasion. You know, then you get the other side where U.S. government is covering up, or countries are covering up the intelligence that was discovered or found from these maybe spacecrafts that crashed, you know, alien technology, reverse engineering, and so on. Man, there's so much speculation, thoughts. There's a lot of evidence out there that can point to the reality that maybe there is something that can be dangerous to our world existence. And maybe disclosure right now is not the time. So these men in black show up, and maybe they tell people, hey, calm down. National security comes before your curiosity. Just thinking out loud. If these men in black or women in black exist, this is top level classified information. You know, if we want to believe Obama said, hey, there's certain stuff. You know, you went on TV, right? There's certain stuff that we don't know. Or they didn't tell me. I don't know, man. This is tough. If anyone has any questions, any thoughts on this, 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. See, I'm kind of all in for freedom of speech. As long as you don't try to invoke violence. Definitely, you're protected. No violence, no insurrection. That's not allowed. But here's the thing. We can ask questions, though. One question I definitely want to ask, if the government does have understanding of life outside, I would hope that if disclosure does occur, that it's done in a respectful manner where there will not be any panic. Because granted, people might panic. This is going to blow people away, especially like religions even. World religions, what you're taught, there's only one God. And God, in the name of Jesus, came to save the world. Now, I know the Pope, well, not the Pope, the Vatican recently said, hey, if there is life outside, then there's an opportunity to teach them about God, Jesus. So it seems like they're not worried. Maybe they know something. The Vatican archives. That's another theory that the Vatican knows about about life out there. Our relatives. You know, in traditional indigenous worldview, you know, they see not peoples as aliens, but as star people, people of other worlds, ancestral beginnings. So again, another perspective, another worldview, the traditional indigenous worldview. They're not aliens. They're not evil. They're our relatives. We come from the stars. You hear a lot of psychics. You see a lot of videos on YouTube that talks about this. This is what I love about paranormal topic. And we offer this on Mondays so people could think about these things. You know, it's not strange for the indigenous people to look at, you know, say Sasquatch or Bigfoot, star people, and so on, spirits. You know, this is nothing to be scared of, but something to discuss, something to respect. You know, yesterday in the Spotlight show, we were talking to Tashi Naru, one of the members of Arayeke Yukayeke, and she was talking about this powerful experience that she was in, and she was traveling to the Dominican Republic in her homeland. You know, she saw this energy ball, she refers to them. You know, it sounded like orbs, and, you know, this bright light that was hovering around her land in front of her, and it's a powerful experience. It gave her not fear, but confirmation about the universe. You know, today I was also watching a video on Bigfoot, Sasquatch. It was on the History Channel. I forget what season it was, but it was talking about that they found DNA. And in the DNA, it came out that it was a primate very close to the chimpanzee, the DNA. And there was no primates in that area in America. So what was that? And then they went out, they did a search. They did a whole, surveillance. They're trying to find out what this was. And then they heard growling. It was very upset, the growling. Could it sound like a bear? See, I hate these shows. They always say, hey, it looks like a bear. Sounds like a bear. But, there's always that but, right? They never want to talk about the information after the but. They want to talk about the other stuff beforehand. You don't notice that in these shows? It's always inconclusive. But that but, one T, not two T's, but, you know, and in this show, there was a pile of stones. And then there's also this stench odor that a lot of people say follows the Bigfoot or Sasquatch. And, you know, the stones were moved. The stench was stronger than ever when he was around. The sounds they heard. See, there's so much. And then they go back to, well, we never found a body. You know? Well, I guess we got to keep asking those questions. We got to keep searching. You know, I personally think, hey, we're humans. Humans are scary, the most dangerous animal in the world. Bigfoot knows exactly what Bigfoot needs to do. So we have some great shows here in the Spooky Lou Show. A lot of you have commented. A lot of you have called in, which is awesome. So let me look for a song. How about a Bigfoot song? I'm in a mood for Bigfoot. And if the Men in Black are listening, well, I got a Bigfoot song for you. And I could imagine they're always traveling throughout America looking, trying to be the Men in Black. I wonder if they saw Bigfoot. Well, how about this song?
When the moon hangs high on the breast of the lake, and the bite of the wind is like a slap in the face, a legend of horror lurks in the haze. It's Bigfoot. A giant of a creature, all covered with hair, as tall as a timber and strong as a bear. Y'all better not go walking out there with Bigfoot.
Woods. If you listen, you can hear him call. Bigfoot's
better watch out. Work your doors and bolt your windows.
Right, Bigfoot's coming. Actually, he's leaving. He don't want to get caught. She doesn't want to get caught. So that's the key. And check it out. What would the Men in Black tell Bigfoot?
I'm a Bigfoot. I live it all again. I'm a Bigfoot. Whoop-dee-doo. I'm a Bigfoot. I live in Oregon. And all the happy Bigfoots live here too. I like the mountains and the trees and the flowers and the breeze. I like the birds and the butterflies. I like to hide among the trees, but no pictures please. Privacy is important to us guys. I'm a Bigfoot. I live in Oregon. I'm a Bigfoot. Whoop-dee-doo. I'm a Bigfoot. I live in Oregon, and all the happy Bigfoots live here too. I like the squirrels and the deer and the chipmunks and the fish. I like the sun and the clouds and the sky. I like the coast and the Cascades. I really haven't made. Oregon is my home, and those are the reasons why. I'm a Bigfoot. I live in Oregon. I'm a Bigfoot. Whoop-de-doo. I'm a Bigfoot. I live in Oregon. And all the happy Bigfoots left for two. Whoop, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo, whoop-de-doo-de-doo, whoop.
Right, Bigfoot's having fun out there in the Northwest. Whoop-de-doo. He's not afraid of surveillance of the Men in Black. But, hey, if Bigfoot is a cool cat, if she's mad nice, let them hide. Let them run. Because humans are going to catch you, and that's not nice. Hey, check it out. I just got a message from Spooky Lou apologizing. There's definitely some issues with the cell phone. So he's unable to call in. Once again, you know, Taino Radio, it's all about the World Wide Web, you know, the cyber world. And I just want to apologize that we couldn't get a full show in for the Men in Black. And I'm thinking maybe the Men in Black did it. Who knows? We'll never know. But, you know, I love Bigfoot. I know a lot of people who've met Sasquatch firsthand through ceremonies. And there's a lot of mystery out there. The Star People, Bigfoot, all these legends, as they call them, are kind of laughed at. But you know what? To listen. So I'm going to end the show. Again, once again, I'll be apologizing. I want to play one last Sasquatch song. It's called Sasquatch, the Legend. I'll see you Wednesday. Our next show will be Wednesday, the Taino. What do you call it, the Taino show tomorrow? The study hour will be pushed for next Tuesday. So Wednesday we'll return with the Indigenous Power Hour with Indy 4-1. And we're going to have a special guest in DM, T-Hawks. He's going to be coming with, he's a hip-hop artist, Native American, and he'll be joining us on Wednesday. So for now, I'd like to thank all of you for being here. And I'll pay you a Sasquatch the Legend. How about that?
When it looked at you, was it like looking at a human, or did it feel like looking at a wild animal, or?
Actually, it was more like looking at a big ape.
Fascinating.
It's something I'm gonna not forever forget. Not ever. But then again, it was over so quick. I don't know if it could run fast enough to catch us or not, but if it had come toward us, we would have run. Well, they got to be real. I mean, so many people have said they've seen them, this, that, and whatever. But once I actually run up on one myself, I definitely believe it.
I guess that's how you know.
I tell them they're wrong. I tell them they're crazy. These things do exist. Investigate them. Find out where they come from. How come they evade people so much? I mean, it's like they said, you know, how come nobody's ever killed one? They might not have a chance.
Right.
If I'm walking through the woods and this thing pops out of the cedar trees, you know, I can't even get to my gun. You might not have a chance to shoot one.
There's thousands of locations that are named by Amerindians or the Native American Indians. They're all different names, but they're in that native tongue or what have you, and it's a term for what they call the wild men. The Bigfoot or the Sasquatch is not, you know, any word or term that was used certainly before the 1900s. The Native Americans all have a wild man in their legends and their culture and their lore. They all have individual names for the Sasquatch. Sasquatch was actually derived by a gentleman in the early 1900s, just putting three or four, you know, of those terms together to make Sasquatch, which is what a lot of people think is an Indian name, which it isn't. They never called the Bigfoot a Sasquatch. They called it the wild man of the mountains, the boss of the mountain, the man that lives in the hills, sometimes in caves. There's many stories of a Bigfoot,
huh?
or a Sasquatch.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned the caves. People, you know, if you stop and think, so many times in the reports, the Sasquatch enters the woods and is gone. Or the tracks come to a halt.
Right.
In the middle of nowhere.
Right.
I recently spoke with a man in near Seattle, Washington. His friend followed huge tracks in fresh snow, fresh tracks. No time for melt-off, no extreme spreading, anything of that nature, that went out into a field, stopped, and were gone. So where does this creature go? Does it go underground, or is there a supernatural, a mystical aspect to this creature?
There's a factual side, there's an evidential side to these sightings, especially now with the discovery of dermal ridges and certain prints and photography and what have you. But again, the scientific point of view, which is, you know, still not accepting the phenomena or looking into it with any kind of fervor, but there's a very mystical side to the Bigfoot and the Sasquatch. Really, the very core of the Native American belief.
Exactly.
And many stories of the footprint stopping or the Bigfoot or Sasquatch disappearing into the forest or vanishing in thin air.
Well, and you know, yes, that could be just a natural occurrence.
For whatever
panthers,
that is, right?
Other animals, they vanish into the forest also. But this is a large creature. This is not some small creature. It's a large creature not known for fast movement into the woods or anything. So as it steadfastly moves away, where does it go? But let's be realistic. How many people chase it? How
true.
Many people step into those woods and go after this creature?
This is true.
Very seldom will you ever hear of that occurring, with reason.
That's true. In these areas, many of these areas, they're just not, they're not passable. You can't get in there. The brush is so thick, the conditions are so harsh. And if you've ever flown over, you know, America, there is just countless square miles of land that has never been set foot upon by any man, without question. Another very interesting point that was brought to our attention is the fact that not only are these Native American areas named after the wild man, but they're also sacred, mysterious locations that are related to earth energy, magnetism, and all kinds of different things that are now long forgotten. They're not taken into account in any way, shape, or form because, you know, we don't live in that world anymore.
And we have a correlation here. The dark and bloody ground.
The dark and bloody ground.
a special place, a place of ceremony, a place of meetings, not a place
initiation,
to live.
Initiations. Perhaps sacrifice.
Ritual. There's many references to rituals here.
Get lost forever in so many different places. You can easily see, clearly, densely treed areas, acres and acres and acres, if not square miles, left, right, and center, where anything could live and thrive. A human being could live and thrive and never be seen by another person.
That's exactly right. And even though we're riding down a two-lane road, and you can see open areas to the left, to the right, where the hillsides disappear, back in the back of these areas, you run into very dense woodlands. They're extremely hard to traverse. So you're exactly right. As far as you can get lost, you can see things that you may not want to see.
We return to the Cairns, located deep within the Fraser Land, with Tony Gerard, a guest naturalist and Bigfoot researcher, for his expert opinion. Here we are in the Fraser Land. We've been here all night. We've certainly heard and seen very interesting things. I have Tony Gerard with us again, a naturalist, a biologist professor in the state of Kentucky, a native of the state. And we're looking at these very interesting cairns, which litter the area in somewhat of a uniform fashion. We additionally have some fencing that obviously has existed for 100 years, 200 years, hard to say, but very interesting structures and certainly indicative of the early settlements in the area, what have you. Tony, when you see this, what are your immediate thoughts on what this the purpose of this might be?
Well, you know, I course couldn't say for sure. It's obviously fairly old. It's got lichens, which are really slow growth, growing all over it. Mm-hmm. It looks to me like things I see from the 18th and early 19th century, and my best guess would be, since there's another one just 100 yards away,
right,
and
down the way,
not very far from here, we've seen these waist-high rock walls, is that at one point they decided to extend the wall down there on up this way. It already stacked their material here, and another one down there where things would be convenient, picking
right.
it up locally, and just never got around to finishing the wall.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thing to note. Sometimes you can look at something like this and just not draw that kind of correlation. We were talking earlier, and you talked about the fact that stacking stones in this fashion is something that actually brings all the materials together, but keeps them in one location, and also might make it easy when you're building something at the end of the
right.
day.
Right, yeah, it's just right here and handy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've got enough to build this section, and by the time we get down there, we'd start on the next one.
Yeah, yeah. The team wonders, why was the wall never finished? Was it because of the activity that we experienced that night? Did these early settlers leave this area so abruptly for a reason?
Oh, there is a reason. They were scared of humans. But here's the thing. Who is going to help Sasquatch if he or she is ever caught?
Straight, don't get no names and no secrets. It's all a strange watching back. But you never quite know where.